My brothers and sisters, this morning in our introduction, we were invited to think about our daily lives. We were told that all that we are going through someday will pass. And when everything passes away, especially that which troubles our lives, then we shall endure in that pure freedom, in that total perfection of freedom. But then the invitation is there that we have to do more. We have to do more and more each day, meaning that our conversion should be there each and every day. In our work, in our thoughts, in our actions, and in everything that is about us in our human life. And so the readings today have touched a number of issues concerning how should we live. And this is the mission that Christ himself had come for. When he says, I have come to proclaim the good news to the captives, to the poor, to those who are imprisoned. They may not be in chains of prison, but they have been overtaken by the lures of this world. So Christ says, I have come for them to open the eyes of those who do not see, those who do not hear, that they'll be able to hear again. And this is what St. James was talking about. And Isaiah mentions that. Perhaps our lives should be focused on that. What is the part of me that is deaf? What is the part of me that does not hear or see? What are my actions that are not all about what I believe in? When we look around our lives, one thing that we can see is that there are all sorts of differences even among us, but all of us are created in the image and likeness of God. I'll give you an exercise. Would you look at one another in the eye, to the person who is seated next to you right now, without saying a word? Don't smile, just look at them. The one sitting, look at them in the eye. Don't say anything, but just look at them. Thank you. When you meet somebody who is a stranger to you, and then you do that, it's usually very offensive. Somebody will say, why are you staring at me? It's not necessarily looking at you. It's like staring at you. Why are you doing that? And we feel very offended. But perhaps we do not know that maybe our other partner, our other friend, has something to say, but they cannot say it. In short, I am saying that I would give a credit to Father Lawrence for what he has done in this church. And ever since I came to the United States, it's here where I've seen somebody interpreting like this. For our brethren who cannot hear, but they have something that they want to say to us. They are staring at us. They want to say something, but then they can't. And Jesus says he has come to show us that these two belong to the kingdom. So he says, a father to them, have your ears and eyes opened so that you are able to listen and you are able to hear. And he is even telling us indirectly that are we very conscious of that? Are we cautious of our brethren who are like that? Do we think about them? Do we consider them even in our Catholic liturgy? What participation do they have? And we have a multitude of these people. All these people, Christ came for them. It's like communication. If you can't communicate with somebody, it's like everything is dead. I remember last December I was in Mexico. I visited a priest friend. And then the maid came in. You know, I cannot speak Spanish. But then, this lady came in. And she said, "Hola, Padre Kennedy." So I said, "What is she talking about?" And yet she was just greeting me. And then she followed on to ask, "Do you have some laundry?" I couldn't say anything. I didn't understand a thing. And I really felt bad. I said, why should this be an impediment? Communication. So it happens. And when Jesus comes in this audience to take aside this man who was blind, who could not see, who could not hear, he takes him aside to tell him that you are a person as an individual, and I wouldn't like to show this in public. So let me demonstrate it to you alone, just like our faith. Our faith is personal. Much of the healing that Jesus did was he stretched his hands on them and they were healed. But this time, he takes him aside. Another lesson for us, Jesus takes us aside of our faults, of our difficulties, of our tough times in life, to speak to us aside. And this is what he does. The only thing that he did in public, to denounce in public, perhaps were the demons. If you hear the last readings in the last week about the demons, there was a demon in the crowd who shouted, "Son of God, I know what you have come to do to us. You are the Holy One of God." So Jesus said, "Shut up and come out of him." For that one was very straight. Why? Because to have a demon among us, I think it's a distraction. Why should a demon come among us and defraud the word of God, stealing the word of God which doesn't belong to him? So he said, come out of him. And even it was a discredit to Jesus to tell him by the demon that you are the Son of God. It doesn't need a demonic endorsement to say that you are the Son of God. Jesus knows that he is the Son of God. So he never needed such to be told. But all that, when it happens in our lives, it should give us a reflection of who we are. And what is it that should be our desire each and every day of our lives? Impairment, or it's not an impediment at all, but it gives a segregation among ourselves. And that is why St. James was saying, our judgment day will be on how we have treated one another. To say, love one another, and every time that we come to church, or the entire Christian life, it's all about love. Why? Because God himself is love. And whatever gifts God has given us, they are there for the purpose to help us see how God loves us and see how much we can do for one another. Then we are responding to the call of evangelization, the call of our faith. I told you to look at one another's, to look in the eye of one another. My rector, where I was in the seminary, you would meet a seminarian in the corridors and would ask them, "Are you happy?" So the seminarian would get concerned. "Why, Father?" "I'm saying, are you happy?" So then the seminarian would say, yes, Father, I'm happy." Then he told him, "Could you please inform your face that you are happy?" And sometimes it's like that. All about praise, all about our worship. It should give us the joy, the fullness of joy, that this is what we desire to be. And if we desire all of us to go and be with God, it means that we attain now the fullness of that joy. So the fullness of joy should give us the energy even to come more and more to church, because that is the ambience, the freedom, the peace that we need each and every day of our lives. And that is why we pray. Then we see the fruits of prayer through that. The work that we do outside should just be a complement to what we believe in. To say, now we see how God loves us, so let us go out and share that love with one another. And so I would pray that this day becomes perhaps a springboard for each one of us to look around and see how the gospel is challenging us to look beyond ourselves, because that's where we'll be able to find God. When God or Jesus talks about the poor, he's speaking specifically about how they depend, dependence on God. That's the greatest thing that we can never lose. If we depend on God fully each day of our lives, then we know he's going to sustain us, and there's nothing impossible with God. No matter how tough or how hard life becomes, we know God is always there to be with us. Even our brothers and sisters who may not have the full faculties as we do to be able to see, to be able to talk to one another, they know that God loves them, and they know that they belong to this body of Christ.